So we are stepping now into the season of Pentecost, where it is our intention to draw closer to the Spirit of God, to dive deeper into what it means to live in the Spirit, to be the kind of people led by the Spirit of God. Our scripture today is from the book of Acts, and Acts is a really good place to start for beginning to gain any understanding about the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, we find the references to the Spirit are abundant. The Holy Spirit is mentioned over 40 times in its 28 chapters. The book of Acts it's often called the Acts of the Apostles. And it accounts the spread of the church and all the great and inspired work that the apostles did. I read someone suggest that really, though, instead of being called the Acts of the Apostles, it might just as easily and perhaps more accurately be named the Acts of the Holy Spirit, since it really is the work of the Spirit that inspires and empowers the work of the apostles and the spread of the church. It's the Spirit. We're reading today from that first Pentecost story from the book of Acts, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Well, Pentecost doesn't exactly get the same kind of attention as times like Christmas and Easter. This is effectively the beginning of the Christian church. The widespread expansion of the church begins here, as we know, in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples of Jesus. A whole awful lot hinges on this Pentecost moment, where the disciples are all gathered together in one place, as it says, and the Spirit of God descends upon them. Upon the departure of Jesus, the frightened disciples had been instructed by Jesus to wait, to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, that they would receive power through the Holy Spirit. And so they waited upon the Spirit of God, and they waited for days, and they waited for weeks. It's somewhat surprising, I think, that the disciples actually listened this time, given their kind of tendency of misunderstanding, given our often human inclination of just going out and doing something, even if it's wrong. But they waited. And they waited, I think, not just out of obedience, but I think perhaps some out of out of fear, some out of necessity. Given the immensity of the mission ahead of them to be a witness to the ends of the earth, what they may or may not have known was just how necessary the Spirit of God is for the church. How so deeply essential is the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And so they waited. This is a surprisingly countercultural lesson that this Pentecost message has for us. In our culture of fast-paced schedules or our action-oriented life, this is not our standard procedure. Our work, our to-do list, it doesn't ever wait. And so how can we really? This is a challenge for us to navigate, how to pause and engage in the life of the Spirit, to wait that the Spirit may descend upon us again. I heard a guy tell a story about when he was a kid, his friend took him out on his sailboat, and they caught the breeze with the sails, and they went out into the middle of a large lake. And out there they lowered the sail and they sprawled out and laid in the sun. And then as the afternoon went on and they decided it was about time to head home, his friend could not for the life of him remember how to raise the sail back up. They couldn't figure it out. It was time to go home, and so they got out their oars and they started rowing and rowing and rowing, investing all of their strength and their energy that they had, but getting nowhere. The assumption, I think, for many of us is so often is what can I do? Even in the Christian life, we think I gotta hurry and get my act together, do this task and finish that, and then finally I will have arrived. I'll be ready. I'll be accomplished. I'll be worthy. But it's really not all about our striving, our efforts. Sometimes it all just gets us next to nowhere. I read a book called Renew Your Life, about walking in the Spirit, living by the Spirit. And in the book, it talked about how in our culture of double shots of espresso coffee and five-hour energy drinks, we can kind of come to distrust the renewing and energizing power of God's Spirit. We don't want to wait for God. We tend to want to create our own energy. We want to muscle through, get ourselves down the road by whatever human means we have at our disposal. But it's not enough. We wear ourselves thin and we're left drained and dry and thirsty for God. But this is not God's intention for us, for our souls to be like that or stay like that. God intends to cause breath to enter us, for us to live. God intends for us to be filled up, full, and renewed, for the Spirit to rush through us and renew us again. God is the giver of life and energy and spirit. There's a story about a tourist who stood for a long time out on the beach, facing away from the ocean, and he was pressing a seashell against his ear. And the water was lapping at his feet, and the sun beamed down upon his head and shoulders, and the waves crashed behind him. But still, he pressed this seashell firmly against his ear, trying to hear the sound of the ocean waves. He wanted to hear the sound of the ocean as it roared and waved behind him. The Spirit of God was poured out for believers, upon believers, with the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Like the fire, the Spirit was poured out, a gift we don't want to miss. How deeply essential the Holy Spirit really is in the life of the believer. If we but pause, if we don't force our own efforts and our own ways upon the world, we wait, and we open ourselves to the life and the Spirit that God has for us. The theologian Frederick Faber wrote over 100 years ago, he wrote about the spiritual life and what I think it may be more important than ever for us. He said that in the spiritual life, God chooses to try our patience, first of all, by his slowness. God is slow. We are active and swift. We must wait for God, long, meekly wait, and he will come. He never comes to those who do not wait. When he comes, go with him, but go slowly. Fall a little behind. When he quickens the pace, be sure of it before you quicken yours. But when he slackens the pace, slacken it at once, and do not be slow only, he says, but silent, very silent, for he is God. I have a minister friend who told the story about the first time that he ever stepped foot into a Christian church in his adult life. And he went to a Quaker church. And he's kind of a loud and boisterous personality. He was wild in those days. And the Quakers have a time in their service where they kind of sit in silence. And sometimes people speak. Sometimes they sit and they wait for the Spirit to speak. My friend told about that first time he went, and it seemed like it was taking forever, sitting in silence, and they weren't really doing much of anything, and he fell asleep. And at the end of the service, he got up and he walked home. And the second time, he went back to the Quaker church again, and he fell asleep. And at the end, he got up and he walked home. And the third time he went, and he sat and he listened, and something happened. The wind began to blow, the Spirit of God began to blow, and something happened, and his life began to be totally rerouted, changed, made new by the Holy Spirit that is poured out for us. Simple truth that we can still forget in all of the busyness and the complexity of life. The truth is simply that the Spirit of God comes. The Spirit of God comes, washes over us. God intends for us to be filled and renewed, for the Spirit to rush through us and renew our lives. God is the giver of life and energy and spirit, and this is not a stretch for God. This was not just some one-time thing. This is something that happens. The Spirit is poured out for us again and again, for all of the dry and the weary souls, for the empty and the overworked, for those who long for newness of life again, the Spirit, this is something happens for us. The Holy Spirit blows upon God's people. I've been thinking about this notion, this truth that God does fill us up with the Spirit. God fills us, that there is enough of God's life and Spirit to fill us and renew us again. But I'm thinking now that maybe that it's not that God is just enough. I'm not sure that that's really the right word for it exactly. I think maybe the word is plenty. Plenty. That there is no shortage of life from God, no limit of spirit that God has for us. By the Spirit there is plenty. Plenty of life, of God's energy for us to not only be filled but overflowing. One of my favorite preachers said that at Pentecost, shy people became bold, and scared people became brave, and lost people found a sure sense of direction. Disciples who had not believed themselves capable of tying their own sandals without Jesus discovered abilities within themselves that they never knew they had. They became witnesses of the risen Christ to the ends of the earth, because of this Holy Spirit that had come upon them, the gift of God, the very breath of life, abundant, poured out upon them. This is the gift of the Spirit that we remember today. And it is the same for us still today. The Spirit of God comes and blows upon God's people, the very breath of life abundant poured out upon us to fill us to overflowing. May we too be those witnesses of God's good news and grace given for us and sharing with the world God's great abundance of Spirit poured out for us here in our church, in our community, and to the ends of